I don't need that. Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to church this morning. I hope you guys are excited because we're coming to the ending of our series for the first series of 2016. Now, if you're new to our church, or if you're here just to come and visit for the celebration of the dedication, it's great to have you here. And if you've missed any of our Shape series, because we're coming to the end, I'd really recommend you to go online because, for instance, if you miss the first two, that means that you're APE, you're going to be ape. Or if you've missed one or other ones that are there, then you're going to be like that guy that goes to the gym and misses leg day, and he's like big and buff up the side and really skinny down below. So I'd love you to be able to go online and have a look. It's on Kruger Parade Baptist Church website, and you go in the resources and you'll be able to find all of our resources of sermons and stuff there. So I'd really encourage you to be a part of that. Now, for the people who have been here, can you remember what SHAPE stands for? What does S stand for? Spiritual gifts. What does H stand for? Your heart. What does A stand for? Abilities. And what does P stand for? Personality. I think Matt asked me to speak today because he thinks I've got some personality. And well, how about E? What does E stand for? Experiences. And I tell you what, I've been going through some experiences lately with a newborn. Woo! And a 17-month-old. That's a very big experience. But it's really exciting to have you here. And we as each of us have been specially shaped by God to be useful to Him and to the church, I'd encourage you to consider today what you as individuals are doing with the shape that God has placed for you, for God, and also for the church that you're a part of. 1 Corinthians 12:12 tells us that just as the body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. Many of you may know that I've had a knee recon and it didn't heal very well. I've got a bung knee. And it doesn't hinder me too much, but at wintertime my knee aches. And also when I go to start walking upstairs or if I walk up hills, it's very obvious that I have difficulty. Now, it doesn't stop me from doing many things. I do most things that that most other people are able to do, but some things are just a little bit more difficult. And sometimes I just stop and avoid doing particular things that I know will put strain on that part of me that is a little bit ineffective. Now, in neglecting our place within the body as us as in our place of shape, it's like a body with an ineffective knee. The church may get by, but how much harder must the body have to work to be effective? When each part is not being utilized, or if one part isn't being used at all, God has shaped each and every one of us as individuals to be actively effective in making the body, the church productive, and the kingdom effective for Christ in our community. Now, spiritual gifts are special gifts which the Holy Spirit provides to believers for the purpose of participating in the church. These gifts are meant to be used for the benefit of everyone. If we don't use our gifts or don't know our gifts, then we make the body less effective. Heart refers to your passion and desires which motivates our actions. God has given you the desire in order to point you towards an area of service that He wants you to do that will be right for you. Abilities. This refers to our natural talents. Every human being has natural talents and abilities. As Christians, we should also realize that our abilities have been given to us by Jesus in order to serve Him and other people. They are to be used in order to express our love. And today we're going to continue to look at our shape. We're going to continue to look at exploring the personality and our experiences and how they are useful in the church and for the glory of God. We all have a unique personality. Our personalities determines how a person will want to express their passion. Your personalities determines the role that you will be comfortable in using for spiritual gifts and abilities. And last of all, God has allowed us to have our experiences in order to prepare for the service that He wants us as individuals to do. What you are experiencing now is preparing you for what God is wanting you to do later. Now, at the end of last year, Linda and I had to do a psych evaluation. Now, this isn't because the church thought that we were crazy, but because to become a church pastor in the Baptist Union, we have to go through a certain stages to be able to see. And one of those is a psychological evaluation, where they come to see that our personality, our life experiences, other situations that we may have had, and other determining factors, as well as our faith with God, is formed in a way that is appropriate for us to be able to perform that role in that position as a pastor. Now, one of the parts of this psychological evaluation was these tests that we had to do. And the test, one of these tests was the Myers-Briggs personality test. Does anybody know the personality test? Yeah? Oh, good. How about, have you ever done a Myers-Briggs personality test? Great, great. Now, the Myers-Briggs is a selection of multiple choice questions, with you answering the questions to what you feel most reflects you. Analyzing the test results, a computer then makes an educated suggestion of what type of personality that you are. Now, I'm apparently the most common personality for an Australian bloke, an ESTJ. And Lynn, on the other hand, was indecisive. She's a rare breed. Where she got to choose between two personalities. Now, the truth is that we all have a unique personality. Oh, by the way, Lynn and I passed with flying colours, so we are saying, yes, come on. The truth is that we all have a unique personality because that is the way that God made us. Life would be boring if all of us had the same personality. Now, the Myers-Briggs personality test breaks down dependent upon our selection or what we fit in with the boxes of four different categories. It is determined by if you're extroverted or introverted, if you're sensing or intuitive, thinking or feeling, and judging or perceiving. Depending on where you sit in each of these four sections will put you into one of the 16 personalities. Now, each personality test will have different wordings to define each component for a person's personality. Now, I considered this when I came to have a look, because we're doing personalities today, and I thought about it as I started looking through Scripture, because I came to see that I couldn't actually find anywhere that God specifically references personalities within His Scriptures. However, we can see throughout all of Scripture that God chooses to use various people with various personalities to fulfill the purposes that He has called us to do. He uses us with various personalities to do His work here on earth. And one of these places that we can see it in the relationship and in actions of Jesus when He was with His disciples, and we can see that in Mark 12, verse 30. Now, hearing that Jesus had silenced a group of Jews named the Sadducees, the Pharisees, who were also another group of Jews, got together and nominated a teacher of the law, who was a smarty pants version of the Pharisees, to test Jesus by asking a question. Teacher, verse 29 to 30, says, teacher, verse 28, of all the commandments, which is the most important? Jesus replied in verse 29 to 30 by quoting Deuteronomy 6, 4 to 5, and he says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. These are four qualities that we can see that also makes up our personality. Even though God may not speak directly into our personalities, He sees that there are four qualities that we can build into or see that we build our personalities from. Our hearts, our soul, our mind and our strength. We all have each one of these qualities and we all work differently out of these qualities. Now let me explain a little bit about these individual qualities. The heart. Now Pastor Matt shared with us a couple of weeks ago about the heart, about the original Greek word for heart was, the cardia. Now cardia is used in the Old Testament and the New Testament over 800 times. One interesting thing about it is, though, is every time the word heart is used or cardia is used, nowhere is it actually is used to talk about the actual muscle that's inside our body that pumps the heart through. You see, the scripture uses is a figurative of speech. Now this meaning, it has fewer meanings, including a person's character, inner self, will, intentions, and a person's center. We use this figure of speech all the time in songs like, Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. We can also see that we use this figure of speech in many different situations in our society. In our church, we use it a lot and we call it Christianese, but in our society, we see it too. Well, this week, I saw a particular YouTube clip. And it was about these three kids, one particular boy and one girl, who was arguing because one dad said that it was raining outside and the other girl's dad said that it was sprinkling outside. And so here they were arguing if it was raining or if it was sprinkling, and they were here arguing between the two of them. And at one point the girl got upset and she said, and poked the boy in the chest and said, "It's raining." And you see the boy's face change and he uses this word, heart, to be able to describe the hurt that he's just feeling inside. And he goes, "Owie, you poked it at my heart. You poked it at my heart." We can see that we use these words not just about the physical, but about the way that we use this word as a figurative speech. Psalm 40 verse 10 says, "I have not kept the good news of your justice hidden in my heart. I have talked about your faithfulness and saving power. I have told everyone in the great assembly of your unfailing love and faithfulness." A person who works mostly out of their heart quality will respond in action, responds out of passion. Now, most extroverts are heart people. And what do extroverts like to do a lot? Talk. They like to talk a lot. And we need people like that in the church, don't we? Some people might say. Hands up if you're a heart person, an extroverted person. Great, we got those ones vibrant. Yeah, great, because we need you. Because you guys are our welcome team in our church. You guys are the ones that bring the energy into our children's ministries, our youth ministries, energy into all our different types of ministries. You guys are also the people that are the ones that help us to be energized. Woo! To go out and to be able to share the faith. We need you. Because you see, people who have a heart passion like to talk a lot. And they don't just talk a lot about themselves or to themselves. They talk to other people. Now, if your heart passion is God, then the thing that you're going to talk about a lot everywhere you go is going to be about God. So when you go into your community, when you go into your workplace, when you go to your football teams, when you go to your different sporting places, one of the things that's going to continue to come out of your mouth is going to be God. We need you to be going out and actively sharing your faith. That is great. Now, Proverbs 10:19 says, I should go back there, but there is a fault. There are a warning. There is a little bit of weakness for a person who is a heart person. And what do you think that might be? They talk a lot. Yeah, they talk a lot. And we have to be careful as people who are extroverts to be careful what we talk about and how we talk. In Proverbs 10:19, it says, "When there are many words, transgressions is unavoidable. But he who restrains his lips is wise." People who are extroverted, people who are heart people, need to be careful that they don't continue to talk all the time. Because if you continue to talk, you're going to say something wrong. You're going to continue to talk and you're going to say things that aren't correct or outside of the will of God. You're going to sin through what you say. You need to be careful about that. Now, we as heart people, now this is me included, have to be careful that we don't misuse our heart qualities and overshadow others around us, or speak of or into something that we shouldn't. Proverbs 17:27 says, "Those who are sure of themselves do not talk all the time." Now, that's a struggle. But we need to put our words into actions appropriately. Okay, that's enough about beating myself over the head and the other extroverted heart people. We'll move on to the next particular one, which is the soul. The word soul derives from a word called psuche, which is where we get the English derived word of psyche, psychology. Some definitions for this word are: the soul is the direct aftermath of God's breathing, blowing his gift of life into a person, making them an ensouled being. The vital breath, breath of life, the soul as the seat of affections and will. The soul people love God through their soul. They are the people who feel, are driven by their emotions, usually love to worship and are looking forward to when I stop speaking so that we can sing some more. Psalm 42 verse 1 says, "As the deer pants for water, oh my soul longs for you." The soul people feel and are able to acknowledge people's struggles more than most others. And if you have received the grace of God, then you as a soul person are drawn to compassion and are quick to forgive as well. Put your hand up if you feel that you are a soul person that has that. Great. We need you as well, because you guys are our care team. You guys are the ones that see people hurting, that are struggling, and that need people to come beside them and be able to know and to be empathized with them. You guys are the people that come beside people who are hurting and struggling and to be able to share hope and love and compassion to them. You guys are also the people that help us to be able to worship. You are also our heartfelt, eyes-closed worshippers that bring a sense of openness, emotion, and a vulnerability to our worship. Ephesians 4 verse 32 says that we are to be kind and compassionate to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven us. This is something that we as the body of Christ should all be doing. But we need you soul people to lead the way and show us how to do it. This is one of your roles. But you see, soul people also have a weakness. And to one of them is that you are more prone to be tempted by your feelings. 1 Peter 2:11 tells us, since our real home is in heaven, keep away from the evil pleasures of this world. They are not for you, for they fight against your very soul. If we aren't careful to keep our temptations at bay, we open ourselves up to be consumed by our evil desires and the pleasures of this world, leaving us ineffective to respond to the needs of the church and the community. Galatians 5:16 can impart some wisdom to our soul people. It says, "Let the Holy Spirit direct our lives, and you will not satisfy the desires of the human nature." Love the Lord with all your mind. The mind people. The mind people are the people who love knowledge, who find comfort in their find discomfort if there is lack of understanding, are stimulated by details, and are eagerly awaiting the Greek word to which this word is formed from and derived from, and its definition. And could be tempted to be getting irritated by the thought that I would choose not to share this information with you. Mind people love structure, systems and order. I'm not telling you, by the way. You guys are the people that can go and have a look. You love researching. But mind people love to structure systems and order. They love boundaries, rules, as this gives them a standard to comply to. Hands up if you're a mind person who loves to think. Well, some eager people to put their hands up on that one. Great, because we need you as well. Do you know, you guys are the people that make things happen. The heart people talk up all these great ideas. The soul people tell us about how they feel about these ideas. And the mind people are the ones that generate a process to make these ideas come into place. They make action happen. You are our life group leaders, our junior youth Bible study leaders. You guys are the thinkers that love to think. When things are going the wrong way, your mind people are the ones that find the solutions. Mind people are thinkers and they seek truth. They seek answers. They dive within scripture and digesting the information, seeking answers to things that may puzzle them. Psalms 119 verse 97 says, "How I love your law. I think about it all day long. For the thinkers, the best way to love God is by thinking about Him, meditating over His words, His instructions, and learning all that one can about how to grow closer to God and how it can be in a better way of demonstrating God to other people. But be careful, thinkers, mind people, as knowledge is an easy way to bring on pride. There would be thinkers in this room that would be more intelligent, more knowledge of the Word of God than most of us around. And it would be easy for you to dismiss other people due to their lack of knowledge and intellect. Thinkers think so much that they think that they are more intelligent than others. It says in 1 Corinthians 8 verse 1, "But while knowledge makes us feel important, it is love that strengthens the church." Your love is used to worship God. Your knowledge is used to worship God. Your intellect is used to worship Him. Your thoughts are to worship Him and not to be prideful. Because God is God, and who are we to be proud when we're under the gaze of God Himself? And as thinkers, there is a warning to us. We are to practice humility. Proverbs 3 verse 7, "Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil." As mind people in the church, you love God through your wealth of knowledge. And when you come to bring this knowledge to the church, to the body, make sure you do it with love. As this will be empowering, not damaging. This will be encouraging and not arrogant. And by the way, if you're a person that has a mind, don't pray to God to humble you. Because all throughout Scripture, it never does it say to go and pray to God for Him to humble you. But rather what Scripture does say is come and humble yourself. You see, it's a choice. It's a state of mind. You choose if you're going to be arrogant and proud, or you choose to be humble. It's a state of mind. And I'd encourage you to see and reflect and to humble yourself. Set yourself to be humble. Choose not to be arrogant. And the only reason why we become arrogant and not humble is because we choose to be. And the last but not least of the personalities are our people who love the Lord our God with all our strength. These are our active people, our doers in the church. They love God by doing stuff. Active go-getters, the accomplishers, the finishers. Psalm 116 verse 16 says, "O Lord, I am your servant. Yes, I am your servant, born into your household. You have freed me from my chains." You have freedom to be able to go out and do these things. This passage, just here, this passage is for our strength, our go-getters, our doers in our church. Hands up if you're a doer, a strength person. We have a lot of strength doer people. Linda and I have been blessed over these last couple of weeks while we've gone through this last part of our pregnancy and having our pregnancy. See, I said that. We're together. Through the part of when we've just had our baby, because many people have come beside us and helped us in many different ways, cooked for us and cared for us in many ways. And we just thank you. Our church is full of doers, and it's great because we need you. You are the people that get things done. You guys are the ones that go out. If we have a need, it gets done. If we have a working bee called at the last minute, you guys are the first ones there. But at the same time, if there is something about the doers, is sometimes they don't recognize the gifting that they have. Sometimes they don't consider the gifting that you have. But you do have one. Anytime that there is need, or you come up to people, "How can I help you?" That is a great need. That is a part of your personality. You are a doer. Romans 12:1 tells us to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Our doers are prime examples of this passage in action. Doers are the people that keep our church alive, keep our ministries ticking along. They are a part of everything. They help with anything. Loving God in every action possible. But there is a weakness for the people who are our doers, our strength people. What do you think that might be? They do too much. They get burnt out. People like this feel the burden. They need to be a part of everything. They feel like they need to be a participant in everything. If someone calls out for help, they feel like they need to be the one that jumps on it. They end up burning out or becoming overwhelmed and drawing away from everything. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, Philippians 4:13. But Christ doesn't want one individual person to do it all, but for the church to be doing it. Doers, be careful that you don't place the weight of every activity, every vacancy on your shoulders. Allow God to direct your passion and guide you into the task that He wants you to do. Now, I've asked you to put your hand up, and some of you put your hand up for one, others of you put your hands up for more. And you know what? If you have a look at your personality, you find that you don't just blend into just one, but you actually blend in over a few of them, or maybe all of them in some particular way. You see, the part of our personality isn't the fact that we have been conformed to one of being a heart, a soul, a mind, or a strength, but the way that our personalities differ is when we mesh all these in particular different ways. But you know, usually, for most people, we are stronger in one than all the rest. We love God through one more than the rest. But this is why God tells us in here, in Deuteronomy, as well as in the passages talking about Jesus speaking into this commandment, we hear God speaking and saying that we must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. You may love God, you may love to do one thing more, but you need to put your personality in action and fulfill your love to God in all your personality, utilizing them to be able to help the church to be able to function the way it needs to and for the purpose of the advancement of the kingdom as well. An interesting observation that I have made about looking at these personalities is I've got a friend named Dave. Now, on paper, he's got exactly the same personality as me, an ESTJ. But then, if you have a look at him, if you put him and me in the same room and looked at the way that we function, you would actually see that we have quite a vast difference in the way that we respond to different things at different times. The way that we interact with people, it has things that happen differently. My wife Linda and also his wife Tanya always quite often comment about how we are so similar in the way that we think and the way that we act. But they also acknowledge that there are many things that are very different about the way that we live our lives. And I pondered about the reason for this. And I found one of the biggest reasons why, even though we may have the same personality as each other, one of the biggest reasons why we may be different is because of our life experiences. You see, we've lived a very different life. We've grown up in a very different situations. I've experienced many different things than what he has experienced. We've gone through various different hardships that are different to each other. And it's through these experiences that God has molded us inside our personality and shaped us to be individual people for a purpose that God has called us as individuals. Our past and our present experiences are what God allows us to go through. Experiences that are fun, joyous, loving, scary, sad, and unfortunately, others may be just downright tragedies. God uses these experiences to shape who we are and also to prepare us for things that He has in store for us in the future. At the beginning of 2015, we did a series called The Five Fruit Fertilizers. And one of the messages that we shared through that was a message about pivotal moments. Now, pivotal moments were either one experience or a collection of different experiences that we've gone through in life that has helped to be able to bring us, either draw us to God or to strengthen us, to grow us in our faith with God. And that is one part that God uses experiences. But then as Christians, we also have to go through, God allows us to go through experiences in life of different shapes and forms to be able to put us into a position where He can use us in a particular task, in a particular ministry. He uses our experiences so that we can relate, so we can talk to people, so that we can do different particular tasks that other people may not be able to do because they haven't had the experiences as we have. A great example of this for me was the beginning of 2011 when my house got flooded. My house was flooded a meter up in the second floor, and this was an absolute tragedy for me. And many of you guys would have experienced, or some of you would have experienced, the same heartfelt tragedy struggles that I went through as well. I had nothing except what would fit in my car. I had no immediate place to go and stay. But a friend of mine, she lived in a granny flat that was connected to her brother's house. And so she asked, and he was very happy and willing to allow me to come and stay because he had a few spare rooms there. And so I stayed there for 3 weeks until the water subsided and had the chance to do the initial cleanup process of the house. Now, this period of my life was incredibly difficult for me, as it was for some of the others here today. But for me, another side of experience was being used. God was giving me an experience. He's placed it in my lap. And that was that this brother of my friend was an outgoing homosexual, and he lived in the house with his boyfriend. Now, I've been a churchgoer for all my life. I worked in the construction industry where I never got to interact with them at all. And I also played sport like football and soccer, and I never came into contact with this particular different worldview than I had. And I struggled. This challenged my worldview. As a typical Aussie bloke personality, this experience, in amongst the turmoil of the flood, was very confronting for me. But he took me in as a friend and shared the act of hospitality far beyond what I have experienced by many other Christians. It didn't take them long to realize that I was a Christian, and I was finding myself uncomfortable within my particular surroundings. So they decided to educate me, throwing me in the deep end, if you would like to say, because they decided to throw particular dinner parties nearly every night, inviting maybe a couple of their friends, and other times they invited many of their friends to come along so that I would be thrown into this situation of experiencing the people that have a different worldview than I. This experience for me helped me to be able to grow. This experience for me helped to be able to understand that they are people. This experience for me that I was drawn into helped me to realize that these people, when they came to talk to me, were people that were seeking love. There were people that were going through hurt. That these were people that were lonely. These were people that were seeking truth. That were wanting hope in their lives. That these were people that had struggles just like me. That had struggles in other ways, yes, maybe more open for other people to be able to see. Their sin may be a little bit more prevalent than many of our other people that we have around. But I came to realize that my insecurity of these people, my resistance of these particular people had a worldview, was not necessary. Through this experience, I grew to be able to realize that they needed to be able to see and feel and experience the love of Jesus as much as anybody else. Through this, I learned how to be able to love like Jesus more. Through this experience, I learned, not just through that one experience, but others, I learned how to be able to forgive more. I learned through this particular series of life of 2011, I learned how to be able to go through such what I found as a tragedy, a dull moment in my life, and I was able to experience what it felt like to hold onto God with both hands and hold onto my faith and not let go. Jesus allows us to go through experiences in our own lives to be able to develop us into people that He wants to use us in the future. In Romans 8:28, He says, We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. God uses our experiences to fine-tune us, to prepare us for the good and His good works. How about you? What experiences have shaped who you are? What experiences have formed your personality, molded you for God's purpose, for the situations that you are in here and now, and what you're going to be doing in the future? One reason why I love hearing testimonies at baptisms and other times is because we get to see a person stand up. You don't just get to witness their personality, but you also get to hear the situations, the experiences that they've had to go through to draw them to a point of their relationship that they have with God then and there. God shapes us ever so much through our experiences to make us into masterpieces that He has planned for us to be. These masterpieces aren't meant to be hidden, unused. These masterpieces have been shaped purposely to be used. Here we are at the end of our first series of 2016 with a challenge. Not to just get more into shape, but to seek and to utilize these spiritual gifts that God has given us. Moving with our passions, the outworking of our hearts to honor God in our actions. Using our abilities to build up the church and the advancement of God's kingdom on earth. Acknowledging the personality that God has created us with. And using our personality to love Him with all that we are. And all that we can be. And finally, seeing how God has and how He is continuing to shape us through our experiences into the masterpieces that He desires us to be. Not to be locked away, laying dormant and wasted, but to be used, active in our church and in our community. At work, teaching, mentoring, discipling, worshipping, caring, healing, encouraging, equipping, supporting the work that the body, the church, is doing. We are all a part of this body, and we all have a valuable part to play. We need you in shape and in action for the glory of the One who deserves everything that we have to offer. The ball is now in our court. What will we do? Will we sit on the grandstand and watch the actions unfold? Or are we willing to get into the play and play our part? Next week, we have our ministry expo on display where we get to see all the many different ministries that we as a church do, and also other ministries that we support and are utilized through as well. Now, I wonder how we could consider if when we are utilizing our shape, are we being effective or are we being ineffective? We as a church, we need to be the most effective that we can be. And the only way that we can do that is when our whole body, our whole people in our church are being effective in shape and not dormant, being proactive and active in the gifts, in the abilities, in their personalities, doing what their heart is drawing them to do. Now the ball is in your court. Are you being a part of what God has called you to do, set you apart to do, as we continue as a church to be the lighthouse to our community, as we continue to worship and honor and glorify God in all that we do as a church? Let me pray. Gracious Father, we just thank You that You have formed us. Lord, You knew every hair that was on our head. You knew every part of our body, every part that we were going to have before we were even born. Lord, we thank you that you have shaped us through the giftings that you have given us as we've come to know you and have faith in you. Lord, we thank you that you give us a heart, a passion, a burning desire to do things within our lives so that you can set us aside to be fulfilling your call in those passions, those ministries. Lord, we thank you for the way that you have given us abilities, natural abilities that we can come and honor and glorify you. Lord, we thank you for the way that we have been given ways that we can utilize our abilities for you. Lord, thank you for how unique our personalities are. And Lord, I just pray that we will see the significance and the importance of every individual personality, including mine and ours. And Lord, help us to be proactive in that, not just hiding away, being shy, but seeing that we have an ability through that personality to be purposeful in our church. Lord, help us to be able to see the experiences that we have gone through, the experiences that we are going through, so that we can be useful for your body, for your church. Lord, as we come here this morning, as we come to reflect if we are in shape and if we are being active in the way that we use our shape, Lord, touch us, speak to us. Encourage us, empower us to be out doing what you've called us to do. Lord, we thank you for the way that you have provided us a safe haven. You've provided us hope. You've provided us a relationship with you. And Lord, help us to be able to honor you in all that we do as a church and as individuals too. Lord, before I close, I just want to pray for my brother. I just pray for Martin as he has gone to hospital. He is such a valuable part in our church, Lord. The way that he has a soul, a feeling, and the way that he cares for so many people. And Lord, he needs care now. And Lord, we just pray that we as a church can be able to hold our hands out, that we can love him and care for him. Lord, we just pray that your hand of comfort and reassurance will be on him as well. Lord, for May, as she supports but also goes through so much hardship of her own, Lord, I just pray that you'll be with her and know that the love that we have as a church for them too. Lord, for Renee and Aaron, I could not imagine the emotion that they must go through. They must be going through now through the loss of a child. Lord, I just pray that we will be a church that has compassion and love upon them, that we will be a church that shows how the body loves one another. Lord, we just pray that you have the wisdom, so you will give us the wisdom how to speak into their lives and how to be able to comfort and give them reassurance. And Lord, I just pray that they will feel your presence and your support in this time, and that they will continue to hold on to you with both hands in their faith as well. Thank you for this morning, Lord. Thank you for our lives and the way you've shaped us. In your name, amen.